Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and as always, it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what's on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first, during our radio seminar segment, we're going to get into God's Word. And we are going to find that according to the Bible, some of what you see going on in your life materially and financially, well, some of it is from God and some of it is not. You are going to see that there are ways that God will use money. And again, according to the Bible, there are ways that God will not use money. And next, during our question and answer time, we're going to talk about two real world questions from two real world husbands and wives. And finally, during our Minute with Maxwell, John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the best way to get results. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together. And as we start, as we always start, let me pray for us. Father God, we pray and we ask you to please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us. To your glory, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Okay, let's get started. And as we do, we're going to first take a quick look back at our two key biblical financial principles of wealth and stewardship. And that will lay the foundation for us as we get into God's Word and find that according to the Bible, well, we're going to see that there are ways that God will use money. And there are ways that God will not use money in your life. So that's where we're going. Let's start with a quick review. Now remember, we find from God's Word that your wealth according to God's definition, well, it's everything that He has ever given you. It is everything that He has ever placed into your hand. It is your spiritual trust account. It is so much more than just the cars and the houses and the cash in your pocketbook, your purse, or your bank. And what is important about God's wealth according to God's definition, it's not the amount or the value. It's the attitude and how you use all that He gives you to manage, how it's used, how it is invested and reinvested and put back into the kingdom of God. That is what is important to God about the wealth that He gives you. And what is not important to God? Well, again, what is not important to God is the amount or the value of whatever you have been given. Why? Well, because as we've seen, it all belongs to Him. Now, that's wealth according to God's definition. Do you remember our definition of stewardship? What was it? Do you remember? The definition of steward is simply a manager of another person's property. That is exactly what a steward is. And remember, we looked at some good examples of stewardship and some not so good examples of stewardship from the Bible and from our world today. And what we found was that we, each one of us, you and I, we are all stewards. And that as a steward, well, as a steward, you have some rights. First of all, you have the right to responsibly manage all that God entrusts to you. And secondly, well, you have the right to keep some of it for your enjoyment and use. But remember, along with these rights, you also have some restrictions. For example, at some point, you can full well expect the owner to reclaim what is his. And at that time, you as a steward, well, you're going to be held strictly accountable for how you managed your trust fund from God. Now, we are going to come back to these biblical financial principles quite often during our radio seminar times together. But right now, let's continue to build on these principles to see what God's Word has to say about how God uses money, how He uses wealth in our lives. Okay? Let's get back into God's Word. And I have to tell you, as we do, I have to tell you that I remember during all of the years that I spent in the Air Force after the Lord got a hold of my heart, I had a hard time to find the time to have a quiet time. But the great thing about it is right now, that's part of my job. You see, one of the neat things about being in full-time ministry, well, it's the time that I can take to read and study God's Word. And the more time that we spend together, the more He shows me. For example, do you realize that there are over 70 different names for God and over 150 different descriptions of God? And in the New Testament, well, you see, in the New Testament, Jesus gave the disciples and each one of us a new way to address God. You see, in the Old Testament, God was I Am. He was El Shaddai, Jehovah, and Lord of War, and oh, so many, many more. But Jesus gave us a new name for God, did He not? Recall that in the Lord's Prayer, we find that we can call God, what name can we use for God according to the Lord's Prayer? We can say, Our Father, who art in heaven, right? Our Father. Even Abba Father, which means Daddy. You see, according to the Bible, we can have such an intimate, such a close, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord God of the universe that we can snuggle right up into His arms and call Him Daddy. Isn't that great? Now, I got to believe this is to help us understand that God is not some genie in a bottle, or He's not some stern taskmaster just looking for some excuse to punish us. You see, as your father, you are to recognize that God loves you, okay? It's been said, as a matter of fact, my friend, it's been said that God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. You see, He not only loves you, He has a purpose and a will and a plan for you. And listen, sometimes He wants to use money. He wants to use wealth according to His definition. He wants to use money to help bring about that will, that plan, and that purpose. Let me give you three examples today. Three examples, okay? First example. According to the Bible, God often will use money to allow you to determine your trust in Him. Luke 16:11 says, So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Now be assured, God doesn't need this demonstration. No. He knows exactly what's going on inside you. He really does. The Holy Spirit keeps Him up to speed second by second. You see, this demonstration it's not for God, it is for you. It is for you to demonstrate your trust to you so that you can see where you are spiritually. It is a thermometer for you to take your own spiritual temperature. And by the way, I think you know this, we either trust Him or we don't, right? Now, sometimes we have a little problem with that, though, don't we? I mean, for example, I often hear people say, sure, I trust God, but I cannot get by without credit cards. Why, I just might have an emergency. Sometimes in counseling, when I hear this, after looking at their credit card spending habits, I feel like saying, boy, you sure have had a lot of emergencies in your life, haven't you? But listen, my friend, what emergency is too large for God to handle if you truly trust Him? Truly trust Him. Let me tell you a story that I recall from a long time ago. That there was this gentleman that one Saturday morning, he went to a funeral and he left his lights on. And so when he came back to the car, the battery had run down. And when he tried to start the car obviously wouldn't start. The battery was run down because he left the lights on. So he stopped and he said, wait a minute, this was a great service. Pastor talked about prayer. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray and ask God to start my car. And that's exactly what he did. He prayed and asked God to start the car. He turned the key in the ignition, and guess what? The car didn't start. So he hustles back in the church and went up to the pastor, and he said, Pastor, you didn't tell me the truth. God is not trustworthy. And the pastor said, what happened? And the man explained to him, I prayed for God to start the car, and he didn't start the car. And the pastor said, well, I don't understand. Let me ask you a couple of questions. And the guy said, okay, go ahead. And he said, pastor said, well, listen, how much time each day do you spend praying? Do you spend 8 hours a day praying? And the guy just laughed at him. And he said, pastor, there is no, you know, I am so, there's 8 hours a day. Are you kidding? No. And the pastor said, well, how much time do you spend praying? Maybe 6 hours? And the guy just looked at him, and pastor said, okay, 30 minutes. Do you spend 30 minutes praying? And the guy kind of lowered his head and shook his head. And the pastor said, 2 minutes. Surely you spend at least 2 minutes a day praying. And the guy said, pastor, I got to tell you, not every day. And then the pastor said, well, I know exactly what the problem is. God is faithful, but he didn't recognize your voice and probably started somebody else's car. Oh, that's an old joke, and it's, you know, but the principle is valid, isn't it? I mean, do you try to use God like some genie in a bottle? I mean, do you ignore God's principles and commandments, and whenever you have a problem, you simply pop the cork off the bottle and say, hey, God, come on out and solve this problem for me, and what he does, and when he's done, you ask him to hop right back on in that bottle and place him back up on the shelf? My friend, that is not a father. And that is not God's plan. And that is not trust. Remember what we said? How we use or misuse the material areas of our life is a good, visible, outside indicator to us as to the quality of our relationship with Him. You see, God tells you that He will use wealth. He will use money in your life to see whether or not you trust Him, so that you can see whether or not you trust Him. So let me ask you, do you trust God, or do you just say that you trust God? Well, according to the Bible, God can use money to help you answer that question. All right? So first of all, God will use money in your life. He says he will use money in your life to help you determine whether or not you trust God. Him. Also, according to the Bible, God uses money to develop your faith in Him. 1 John 3:22, we find that we receive from Him anything that we ask because we obey His commands and we do what pleases Him. You see, if we ask out of greed or envy, well, then we're not asking according to His will. And those of you who know and love and trust God, and I know that there are many of you out there who do, you know that this is absolutely true. You see, he tells us that He is faithful. He tells us in the Psalm, he says, sacrifice your rights unto God and pay your vows to the Most High. Then call upon me in your day of trouble, and I shall rescue you. And when you do, He does, and your faith begins to build, right? God will use wealth to develop your faith in Him. So God is going to use money, going to use wealth to determine, so you can just see how much you trust Him. He will use it to help develop your faith. And finally, for today, you need to recognize that God uses money in the lives of His people to demonstrate that He loves us. Matthew 7:9-10, we're asked this. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? You know, my friend, you know, there is a parallel here that is oh so good to remember. God is to us as we should be to our children. Now, I know there are many of you out there that have children, right? And when you head home this afternoon, when you head home this evening, and you walk up to the door, you put the key in the lock, and before you get a chance to open that door, that son or daughter swings the door open, right? And he says, and that child says, Mom, he says, Dad, boy, did we miss you. How did it go this afternoon? Tell me whatever it is that you learned. And you know what, Mom, Dad, while you were gone, I was doing some thinking. That's enough to scare you, right? I was doing some thinking. And it occurred to me that every time that you told me to do something, had I done it, it would have turned out just fine. And every time that you told me not to do something when I did it, it didn't turn out so well. So do you know what? Mom or Dad, I want you to know that I'm going to commit to you to do whatever you want me to do, unconditionally. You know, I've been thinking about it while you're gone, and whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, maybe not. But what would your reaction be if it did happen? Besides pure shock, right? So you see, after you picked yourself up off the floor, you would not tell that young person to go up to the roof and jump off and try and fly. Oh, no. You would be very careful to provide whatever you knew he needed. You know, what is best for that young person. And it is exactly the same way with God. You see, God says, I love you, but you do not allow me to demonstrate it. Why? Because you take the position of an owner. He tells us that if we would just take the position of a steward, that he could knock our socks off by demonstrating how much he loves us. So what is the Lord showing us right now today? He's showing you that not only does he love you, he is showing you that he has a purpose and a will and a plan for you, okay? And that sometimes the Lord wants to use wealth. He will use money, wealth according to his definition, to help bring about that will and that purpose and that plan in your life. Today you saw that. Today you now understand that God often uses money to allow you to determine your trust in him. He is going to use money to help develop your faith in him. And God also will use money in the lives of his people to demonstrate that he loves us. Now, that was this time. Next time, well, we're going to continue on with this next time. And we're going to see other ways that God will use money in our lives. Next time, we're going to see that God also says that he will use money in the lives of his people to provide a witness that the world cannot deny. And listen, next time, you're also going to discover that God wants to use wealth, his wealth according to his definition, the money that he gives you, to help direct your life. That's going to be next time. Don't miss it. Now, for all you married folks out there, and for those of you who may be married one of these days, well, let's see if we can help by spending the next several question and answer segment times together talking about real-world questions from real-world husbands and wives about money, all right? But in order to do this, what I want to do is to set the stage just a little bit, okay? First of all, for example, you need to know that typically, money is either the best area of communication in a marriage or it is the worst. And for most couples, most of the time, what we find, money is the worst area of communication. It is not the best. As a matter of fact, history shows that financial pressures can absolutely destroy a marital relationship. How so? Well, for example, what we find is that, well, one of the partners feels that they fear debt, right? They want to live within a budget. But they see the other person in the marriage as uncooperative, maybe even indulgent. Or one of the two may be seen as a spendthrift, while the other one may be seen as cheap. Any of this hitting home? Well, what few people grasp is that husbands and wives are most always opposite in a whole lot of different ways. For example, one sleeps late, the other one gets up early. One's neat, the other one's messy. One can get from point A to point B, no problem. The other one couldn't find their way out of a paper sack. One is a good bookkeeper and the other one, well, never keeps books, never keeps track, and on and on and on. My friends, Husbands and wives often view finances from a different perspective. Therefore, husbands and wives often ask different questions. Let's take a look at a couple of questions, real-world questions. Today, let's take a look at some questions from wives, from the lady of the house. Okay, here is the first question. Bob, I am a Christian wife and mom who works outside the home. I enjoy my job and I enjoy my home. But many friends have hinted that I'm sinning because I'm not home full time. Does the Bible teach that wives should not work outside the home? Good question. Good question. How would you respond to that question, by the way? How would you respond? Well, let me give you some thoughts from this side of the microphone, okay? I don't find where the Bible teaches that a wife cannot work outside the home, but I do believe the Bible helps us establish some priorities. For example, if a wife is working because the family needs the money, I got to suggest to you that that is a dangerous motive. You know, what I have found that until a couple learns to get along on what the husband makes, there's never going to be enough money to go around. And secondly, if a wife is working to fulfill her ego, well, this is also a dangerous and destructive motive and will often lead to divided loyalties between the job and the home. For example, recall in Proverbs 31, well, describes the excellent wife, right? Verses 16 and 24 describe her business ventures as well as her household duties. And she is described as a working wife and mom who is able to keep her priorities in balance. It is this balance that helps determine whether or not a woman should work outside the home. Paul states in Titus 2:5 that women should be workers at home, subject to their own husbands. And some women are described elsewhere in scriptures as holding down jobs outside the home. Now, is that a conflict? I believe that he is simply stating that women should not neglect their family responsibilities by absorbing themselves in outside work or even church activities, okay? Here are some priorities that I would, Susie, here are some priorities I'd ask you to consider as a working wife, okay? Number one, talk to your husband about it. Try and work out a situation where you can mutually agree. Get his approval. Take a look at Ephesians 5:22. That's number one. You know, by the way, this doesn't mean that you're going to nag him until he agrees, right? You're going to work together and talk about it so that you go outside to work after you have agreed as a team. Number two, the second thing to consider, are your children well cared for? Take a look at Proverbs 31:15. Because what we're going to find is that some of our children are ready for outside training at 6, maybe some other ones not till age 60. And here's the third thing to consider. You need to maintain your home well. Proverbs 31:45. Number four, and finally, can you balance dual authority at home and on the job? Again, James 1:8. You cannot be double-minded. You cannot be double-minded. My friends, this is a frequent question that may hit close to home for many of you. So what do we find? No, the Bible does not teach that wives should not work outside the home. But if you're going to work outside the home, there are three or four things that you need to consider. Good first question, which may hit home to quite a few of us. Now, here's the second question. Second question from a wife and mom. Bob, I really want to be home with my children, but my husband wants me to work because he feels we need the money. And I'm almost afraid not to work because we are barely getting by. What are your thoughts? Well, again, here are some thoughts for you to and all of us to prayerfully consider. Number one, many women with preschool-age children are working for virtually nothing, okay? Virtually nothing, even professional women. You see, by the time you calculate transportation and clothes and childcare and eating out, Well, the data shows that the wife must have a net annual income of somewhere between $22,000 and $25,000 a year just to break even. Second thing, if your husband insists that you work, well, clearly and kindly share and explain your objection. But then, according to the Bible, I think you need to accept his and respect his authority and do as he asks. However, if the decision to have you work is motivated by the desire to maintain a certain lifestyle, well, then you should know that more than likely within a year, you and your husband, well, you're going to find yourselves dissatisfied with your lifestyle once again, even though you are working. Third point to consider, honestly, the real issue is to learn to be content with your present lifestyle and get help to learn how to live on less than you make. Philippians 4:11 tells us that we need to learn to be content whatever our circumstances. So two great questions from the wife's perspective. Now, you're going to see a couple more of these same wifely questions next time. Don't miss it. Wow, time is really marching on along today, isn't it? But I want to make sure that we have time for our Minute with Maxwell. Recall that John Maxwell is a number one New York Times best-selling author. He's a coach and a speaker, and he is considered the world's most influential leadership expert. So today, let's see what John has to say about getting results.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. I was at a hardware store one day, and I saw a sign behind the counter, and the sign basically said how to get results. Well, I thought that's an interesting sign, and it had a list of about 10 things, and the number one thing was everyday produce. And then it had a list and it said under that, all the rest of these things don't matter. It's kind of like, don't belch out the bloaty, just bring home the bacon. Come on, talk to me. John Wooden, my mentor, used to look at his college basketball players and say, don't tell me what you're going to do. Show me what you're going to do. You see, John Wooden realized that talk is cheap, but that once we really produce, that is what backs all of our claims, all of our conversation. So I would just encourage you to look at what you do every day and ask yourself, at the end of the day, do I have something I can point to and say, I think I delivered something today? If you stay in your strength zone and you stay focused there, and it's your intention to deliver some results, trust me, you'll begin to do so. And with that, you'll feel extremely fulfilled. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
What is the Lord showing us through this marvelous Christian author and speaker and teacher? Basically, he is telling us that talk is cheap. My friend, it is not enough to say that you are going to change your financial history and start managing your money in ways that are pleasing to God. That is a good start, but it is not enough. You need to learn how to do it and then start to get it done, and that is why we are here. So why not check out our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org to better discover, apply, and start to pass on what the Bible tells you about money. Remember, we don't have anything to sell. We just have a lot of good, strong, Bible-based information and application tools to give you. Okay, that just about wraps up our time together today. Now recall, during our radio seminar time together, you discovered that according to the Bible, there are ways that God will use money in your life. And then you heard two real-world questions about money from Christian wives, and you just listened to John Maxwell telling us how important it is to put our words into action. My friend, thank you for being with us today. And as we close, let me close us in prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.